Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out the website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's sermon is from Frank Van Zant, Jr. We invite you to take your Bible and study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of the Brummett Church of Christ. My name is Frank Van Zant, Jr., and I'd like to share with you some words today from the Word of God that hopefully interest you into learning more about God and to study harder and understand the great blessings He has given to us through His Word today that we may live by. We always want to invite you to take your Bibles and study with us the Word of God to make sure that we are teaching you the truth and from God's Word. We also invite you to ask any questions or comments about our radio program that you may have, or any other questions that's related to Bible matters and matters of salvation. This morning, our subject today is found in Ezekiel chapter 37. We know that many lessons comes in God's Word, many different forms, and many different settings. This is an odd setting here in chapter 37 as we look in this. Ezekiel, God had brought him to this special place. It was in a great valley, where apparently a great battle had been fought and many dead lay there on the ground. Now, there's a lot we can learn in cemeteries and graveyards. There's a lot of things that comes out of the knowledge that we gain there. But Ezekiel's clash here that God gave to him, his lesson for the time that he was there, was a renewal of Israel. Israel had gone astray and they had been without God and on the outside of God's blessing so long that they were like dry bones themselves. You know, our country we live in today is getting like that. People are so far away from God that they're dried up as far as religious matters are concerned. Their salvation has dried up. Their interest in God has dried up. We find that their eternal life has dried up, and even their lives as a whole here in this physical life is dried up and without hope. You know, when we're without hope, we're like dried bones laying out there. We have no place to go and nothing to go to. And this is the way of a lot of people in life today. They go from day to day hoping for something better and never seeing anything better. But you know, we have to look with a spiritual eye to see things better. Here in chapter 37, we find the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel talking, and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Ezekiel was being taught a lesson here about the power that God has over people's lives. The people of Israel had dried up, and he said, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. These bones had been bleached in the sun, the flesh had been deteriorated off of them, the blood dried up, and the bones lay there drying and turning bleaching in the sun that was there. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you knowest. Now, this is a strange question to ask. He asked Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Do you think they can live? And Ezekiel answered, well, God, you know whether they can or not. So Ezekiel knew that God could do whatever he wanted to. Ezekiel was there waiting on something that God would do for his people there. And he was wanting something to take back to him. And God was going to let him find something here that he could take back as hope to the people of Israel. Now we read here in these verses here, we find that a lot of times the church is like this. It's in need of a renewal. It's a revival to go on. There's so many of God's churches today that has went to the way of the world. They have dried up spiritually. They go through the motions, they go through the actions, but they're far from the commandments of God. They have sunk away out into this world, and they're in need for God to bring them back alive spiritually as he would have his church to be. The reason God showed his prophet a valley full of bones is that it was an apt illustration, a visual metaphor for the condition of God's people, and it is today as well. Verse 11, the people themselves quoted this, and when they said, you're there, he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. He said the house of Israel was like this. And you know the house of Israel is the spirit, is the church, is a type and shadow of the church to come. It's God's people. And this people had dried up. He said, they said themselves, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. There's a lot of people in the church today that his hope has been lost. Their bones are dried up for life. There's no life left there. And we see here, it was as if they were dead with no hope as a spiritual reawakening. But it is to their credit that they recognize this, that they were spiritually dead, that they need spiritual help. And it's to ours today when we recognize it as well, then we can do something about it. Obviously, one does not attempt to repair something unless he knows it's tore up, unless he knows it's broken. And this is the way we are today. We need to know whether or not we're broken. Are we following all of God's commands? Are we following all the ways in which he is taught? Or are we just going through the actions from day to day? You know, a lot of people don't know that they're in need of prayer because they forgot to pray. And when we stand in need of prayer, we stand in need of a spiritual renewal. It's when we have that have something against our brother or sister and have not gone to them to make it right, or when we've not tithed the way we should, or evangelized or prayed without ceasing the way we should, or to speak unwholesome words to others, and all these other things that people do in the church a lot of times have dried themselves up spiritually toward God. A lot of them are following the commands of the world and still the ways of God. They've forgotten what God has said, and they've forgotten what the wonderful life that it is to follow in God's footsteps and knowing that you're following ahead and leaving off the ways of the world. They're so involved in the ways of the world that they're afraid to ask God what to do, afraid of the answers. We have a lot of Christians out here today that say they're Christians that have forgotten to love God's ways. And in order to get a revival, they have to want a revival. In order to bring life, they have to ask for life. And they're afraid to ask for life because they're afraid of what God will tell them to do. Now, here was Ezekiel standing out there in that valley of bones, and he was wanting to know what God wanted him to do because he knew Israel was in need of a revival. Revival can come when we have faith that God can bring it, when he can bring about life into a valley of dry bones. And you know, he told him, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, certainly they can. If God, he said, you know God. But Ezekiel was a man of great faith and a great God. And he knew that God wanted these bones to live, they would live. Now, do we know that? If we know that God wants this church to come alive, if he knows he wants this family to come alive again and be his family, if he wants an individual to come alive again, when that person wants it, God can give it. God, he said, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's when we have the desire that it can happen. Too many people are afraid to ask God for that help, afraid of the answer. Too many people are unwilling to step out there on faith and trust what God has said and leave off all of what this world has taught. Have you ever been in a situation you thought was virtually hopeless, that there was no hope? A lot of times we feel like that in this world. Back when we just got out of a crisis, the economy of this country is still in one. And a lot of people are still feeling hopeless and have been for some time that it won't turn around or there's no hope, no light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But you know, when you're a Christian, there's always light there. There's always hope because we are in God. And in God, that's where all hope lies. You know, a lot of people feel this spiritually. They're frustrated with their vocation or their jobs or marriage or their relationship to their parents or peers, or they're not what they're supposed to be, or their daily fellowship with God is just non-existent at all, or just so weak that they can't even know that it's there. These are dry bones in these people's lives. You know, you can see also, if you look over in what Elijah there on Mount Carmel did when he was against the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, when the only hope was that God would send the fire down from the sky. We find there as he talked to the prophets there, he had them to build an altar and place their sacrifice upon it and call to their god Baal to send down fire to put a test before them. And they prayed there all day and even danced and jumped and cut themselves and couldn't get any. And Elijah began to make fun of them and taunt them about maybe he's awake, he's not awake, maybe he's asleep, or maybe he's traveling somewhere, you go out to holler louder or call louder. And he couldn't be wakened, he couldn't bring down fire. But when Elijah called upon the Lord, the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice that he had put upon the altar there and had wet down with water and even licked up the water round about it. Elijah knew that God was God. He stepped out there on faith, putting his trust in him before all those other people. Him alone stood there with his sacrifice upon the altar. And there alone he stood watching as those other prophets, 450 of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, they all there, that made 850 prophets plus all the other people there to see what was going to happen. But he stepped out there on faith and he trusted God to take over and the fire fell. You know, could you see yourself as Paul in Athens over there in Acts as he was telling the Greek philosophers that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and hit all about it? Well, certainly he was having a hard time convincing them, but he stepped out there on faith and he preached that to them and he kept his faith and stood there upon the ground that God put him on. And doing so, he raised a lot of dry bones that day. A lot of people followed after him because of his standing out there on faith. Can you see as all the other prophets behind him and before him walked out there on faith and done as God asked them to do? We need to have that kind of faith today. Trust in him and him alone. You know, as Jesus hung there on the cross, dying of painful death, of humiliation, yet 3 days later, God made him, his dry bones, live again. He can make ours as well. There is a resurrection. There is life after death. This is not the end of things. This is only the beginning. If we're Christians, it's only the beginning of a life full of happiness and contentment and satisfaction. Is there a situation in our lives today that we think is hopeless? If they are, with God, all things are possible. He tells us over in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, all things are possible with him. And also, God can replace our frustrations and give us purpose in life to serve him and to do the things in which he has given to us to do. When we have the faith to put him in charge, we can resolve conflict between people. We can melt hearts, cold hearts. We can transform discouragement into hope, depression into joy, spiritual compromise into a renewal commitment to him. These dry bones can live again. But do we want that? Or are we satisfied going along in our hopeless situation, staying in the world that we know and are comfortable in? You know, when you do that, you're just not ready for a fresh encounter with God. You're not ready for that renewal or that revival. But when we believe it, the church is ready then, and we're ready. And it can happen. These are the conditions amongst God's people, is that we got to want it, we got to ask for it, we got to knock, and then we got to accept it when it comes, the answers that God gives us. Revival can come when we're willing to do whatsoever God asks of us. After Ezekiel expressed his faith in God and his response to that strange question, the Lord gave an even stranger command. He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord in verse 4. Ezekiel was a desperate man among desperate people at that time. And he says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So God, as he prophesied what God told him to prophesy, all these things began to come together. There's a story of a little girl that was scared in the night. She came and asked her mother, what should she do? She was afraid of the dark. And she said, well, you can go back in there and go to sleep. Jesus is with you. Well, she went back to her room, and it was still dark. It was still there and a little scary. And she said, well, Jesus, I know you're in here, but don't make any moves or you'll scare me. So people are afraid of Jesus. They want him in a comfortable place, a comfortable zone. They don't want to see any movement out of him. No actions, no work. Can you imagine the expression upon Ezekiel's face when he saw God doing his work there in that valley of bones? When he saw those bones coming together to the rightful place, the leg bone to the right knee bone, the right bone, leg bone to the right hip bone, and all, so forth and so on. Each bone came to its own. And he saw all this noise taking place and all these bones clattered together and coming together. And then he saw the sinew or the leaders and the ligaments come upon the bones to hold them together. And then he saw the flesh growing upon these bones. And then he saw a valley full of corpses laying there with no breath in them. What a scary sight that is to think about. When we think about what he saw, but what a wonderful sight it was to see God's working happening. No doubt it would scare us. No doubt we would back up in fright, but yet we would back up in great wonder as well. When we see God work today in the church and in people's lives, we see people coming out of the hopelessness of this world into the life that God can give them. What a wonderful sight it is. It's like seeing these dry bones come together. You know, so many people are afraid to step out there and let God work in their lives. To see Jesus remove their sins and set them in a life that is free from sin, that they can walk the way God taught them. They're afraid that if they let God do these things, that they might be embarrassed, or they might not be able to stand up to it. Well, I'm sure Ezekiel was having a hard time standing that day when he saw all those things. No doubt he was stepping back and stumbling and staggering at the sight of all of this, but yet he kept prophesying. He kept doing as God asked him to do. And no doubt there was a lot of thoughts went through Ezekiel's mind. But he knew if it was God's work, it was right work. Today we need to have that same kind of attitude. If it's God doing the speaking, then it is the right thing to speak. When we look into the Bible, there's no your way and my way. There's only God's way. We have so many different religions out here in the world. And it's because so many people don't trust God to save them. They want their way put in there. Some people say, well, I know the Bible says that, but I don't believe it that way. Why not? Why don't we believe what God has said? Do you believe that God took these dry bones and put them together and made living people out of them? You know, most people look at, oh yeah, God can do that. What if we're the ones standing in the valley? What if we're the ones standing in the valley of dry bones? Can we believe that? Can we believe all the other things that are written here in God's Word? Well, surely we can if we're Christians, if we have faith in God, it has to be so. So as we look at these things, we look at our lives, our own lives. Are we standing in the valley of bones? Are we drying up out here in the world and blowing away? Are the sun bleaching us out to nothing? You know, he preached to the dry bones with faith that God, if God wanted them to come together and give them life, that it would be. You know, without that kind of trust and obedience, Moses couldn't have went back to Egypt and led the people out from there. Abraham could have never ascended up Moriah with his beloved Isaac by his side with his knife in his hand to sacrifice him. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant could have never stepped off into the Jordan River expecting it to part. You know, and without it, we can never experience what God can really do through us. We have to trust in His work. We have to trust in His Word. We have to preach the truth. And we got to stand by it at any cost. Some says, well, if you preach the truth completely and totally, you'll run people off. Well, no doubt some will leave. But then you'll have some faithful wanting to stay there to hear the truth, wanting to do what God, wanting a revival in their lives, wanting their dry bones raised to life and brought back to life. Revival can come when God brings it by the power of His Spirit. Ezekiel recorded in verse 7 and 8, the bones came together. Tissue were added to the bones. And then the flesh grew and covered the lifeless body. How did this happen? I don't know, but God did. God did it. God managed to show this to Ezekiel. But it had to be a scary sight. Ezekiel now was not surrounded by bones, but by corpse. The next step was God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind. And he tells him there, and I prophesied, and so I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and all these shaking and the bones came together and sinewed, and he goes on down. So I prophesied in verse 10 as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. There was an exceedingly great army of people raised to life that day. So we see that God is not only the God of the living, but He's of the dead. He's not of the resurrection only, but of life and death. God did in a graveyard that day was proof that God can turn carnal into spiritual, despair into hope, and death into life. But only He can do that. Ezekiel 37, God does it all. He sent Ezekiel and gave Ezekiel the words to speak. and He calls the bones to live. Today He sends us. He gives us the words to speak, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can bring life. The words of His kingdom, the church, to bring and restore a people back to Him, Christians, that has eternal life to look forward to. That is why we must pray for a revival, because it works. And we must cooperate with God and follow His instructions and not the instructions of the world. Paul said he planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. We do our part and God will do His. You know, as there are churches that meet and conduct business and everyone thinks they are a success, if the people like the preacher, they have good crowds, and good time is had by all. But that's not always the case. There's a lot of dried up churches today because they're following that standard for the church. And you know, they're never heard of talking about what God's doing in the lives of people. How that they are following each and every command of God. How they look to God's word for every ordinance, never command. How they only speak as articles of God. And that is what we need to do today. With His Spirit, these words that He gives us, He said, His Spirit and life. We take this Spirit and we follow it and we walk in it, and we are full of hope and life, and our bones have come together. And He said, and they stood there with an exceedingly great army brought to life out of dead bones. We can be the same way today. We can have our hope renewed, our faith instilled in us. And we can be as Ezekiel standing in the valley of dry bones to see a great army for God raise up out of it. But we've got to have the Spirit, the Word of God, to do that. And it has to be preached in its entirety. I thank you for being with us today. And I want to invite you back each time you can. And we always want to invite you to study with us in God's Word and help us in all things that we do. And we know this is not only true of the church, but it's true as our nation that we live in today. We need a revival throughout the land to renew people back to God and away from atheism and all the other things that are out here in the world. And we can do that if we will trust in God and stand in the valley of the bones and prophesy the Word of God. And at this time, we bid you a good day.